In the previous shiur, we spoke about the idea behind Haman's offering to pay a fortune of money to destroy Klal Yisrael, and more importantly, the rejection of that sacrifice, the rejection of that money, and it was that fact that it was given back to him. So we spoke about the idea of the Matbea Shel Eish, that Hashem showed Moshe Matbea Shel Eish to show him that this idea of Klal Yisrael giving the Machzis HaShekel in the Midbar wasn't just because they needed to do a Magbit, they needed to do a campaign to raise the money for the Mishkan at all. Obviously, anybody would have been happy. There were many people with enough money that could have paid for it themselves. They didn't need to Shnar, but rather it was so that every Jew had done a small sacrifice in service of the Mishkan, and that combined sacrifice created a Kedusha, a reality of Kedusha in the world, and that became the default setting, the imprinted version of the world, that of Kedusha. And therefore, when Haman came along and he wanted to establish and be notea into the world, to plant into the world a version of Tumah, it wasn't possible to do it. He was going to do it with a much greater donation in terms of cash than Bnei Yisrael had done, but A, he came later, and B, the Rabbeinu Shalom has the ability to be machshev our Mesiras Nefesh and our even minor presence as something very great, and that's what he did. And therefore, the Gemara says that when Haman tried to give his money to destroy Klal Yisrael, the Baskal came out and said, it's too late, our shkolim were already given, and therefore, what you're trying to lishkol al ginzei hamelech is not going to work. So I just wanted to add one small point, that the word matpeya, right, matpeya means a coin. Why does it mean a coin? Why is a coin called a matpeya? So there's the understanding is, first of all, that the word is the shurish of the word matpeyas and the word tava, which means to press into something, to imprint upon something. Coins had faces either pressed into them or faces were I forget what the word is, where it's the face comes out in a raised fashion because the metal around it is pressed inwards. But the idea is that it's tavua. By the same token, Haman wanted to press into the world. He wanted to create that the teva of the world, the natural order of the world. Why is teva called teva? To see it's the same shayrish for the same reason, because there's an imprinted derech, there's an imprinted plan that's already here in the world. When you take something and throw it up in the air, it's imprinted upon the world that according to the laws of nature of teva, that thing's going to fall down, and all of the other laws of teva, the other laws of nature go along with it. So over here, Haman was trying to create a teva, a matbea of tuma. Said the Rabbeinu Shalom, no, our matbea came first. And that was what Moshe was niskasha. Moshe didn't understand what's the value, what's the importance of us giving this matbea, of giving this coin. Hashem showed him a matbea shalesh, that we needed to create that tiva. The tiva means in monetary terms, it means the legal tender, so to speak. The natural pressed in order of things is shalesh. And what kind of ash is that? The ash of Kedusha. And that's the idea over here. The matbeya shel ash against the teva of Haman. Later. That's just to finish off that last little bit of that last topic. Now we'll continue in Perek Dalet. And I'm sorry, not Perek Dalet yet. It's still Perek Gimel. Pasuk Yud Beis. Well, actually, let's get to Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'nishlayach svarim b'yad harotzim, and these svarim, these megillas or letters, were sent in the hands of the rotzim al kol medinas hamelech, to all of the countries of the king. Now, what did it say in these svarim? Lahashmid to destroy, la'arig, to kill, ula'abed, and to, la'abed means to lose, but means to make, become lost, as kol ha'yehudim, all of the Jews, minar v'adzakin, young until old, taf v'noshim, women and children, b'yoyim echad, in a single day, b'shloish ha'asr, in the 13th day, l'chodesh shneimasar, the 12th month, hu chodesh adar, that's the 12th, that's called chodesh adar, u'shlolam l'voiz, and their money should be taken as loot, that whoever participates in the killing and destroying of the Jews has the right to then plunder the Jewish money. So the Gaon points out an interesting thing. He says that there were four parts to Haman's gzera, four aspects. There was lahashmid, laharoig, ula'abed, and then the end of it was shlolam l'voiz. So he explains as follows. He says, lahashmid, those four things go against the neshama, the ruach, and the nefesh, which is, in this case, nefesh means the nefesh, more the lower nefesh, what's also referred to as the guf, and the belongings. These are the four levels. A person that exists at the level of neshama, which is completely spiritual being, which is the part of him, which is nechkak from mitachas kisei hakavod, from under the kisei hakavod, it's literally a spark of Hashem himself, that's your neshama. The ruach is the, it's still a spiritual existence, but it's lower than the neshama. It interfaces between the neshama and the guf. The nefesh slash guf is the body, that's the physical part of a person. And an even lower part of a person is something which is not really part of him at all. It just belongs to him, and that's his kinyonim, that's what belongs to him. And Haman wanted to destroy all of these four things. The first one is the neshama. It says, lahashmid. Lahashmid is meloshin shmad. That was a campaign against the neshama, that the neshama's job, as we know, is to steer us towards doing mitzvahs, that we should do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in this world and come close to Hashem. That's why it's compared to a flame, which always reaches upwards. Haman's first imperative was lahashmid, to create a situation of shmad, where Klal Yisrael will no longer be able to come close to Hashem through doing mitzvahs and limud haTorah. The next thing he wanted to destroy was our ruach. Ruach would refer to, in this case, the life, that which keeps together the guf and the neshama, right? It's the interface. The thing that keeps one's body and soul together is the actual breath. Breath itself is a ruach. It's air, it's wind. The place where the ruach is considered to be in the body is from the mouth till the diaphragm, which is also obviously the place where the marechet, the system, the breathing system, the respiratory system exists. That's called the ruach. It's the life. He wanted to destroy us, not yet physically, but the idea over here is more in an emotional sense, right? A person wanted to take away our simcha. When a person is happy, so what does he say? His heart feels happy. His ruach is alive. V'tachi ruach Yaakov Aviyah. When Yaakov heard about the besura that Yosef was still alive, his ruach became enlivened, right? Ruach shvola is a person who feels about himself. The emotional component of a person, how he feels about being who he is, how he feels about his existence, that's in the purview of the ruach. A person with a good, happy ruach, you say, oh, it's a person, this is a good ruach, good to ruach. It's a person with a good spirit and a good feeling about himself and feeling about life, right? If a person's happy, he says, I feel so alive. A person who's depressed says, I feel dead, and itake is dead in a certain way. This is not a physical death. It's an emotional kind of death, right? Simcha is the feeling of having grown and accomplished in a spiritual way. So that was the second thing that Haman wanted. That was lahara. He wanted to kill us, not yet physically, but to kill our spirit, to destroy our ruach. The third part was an actual physical destruction of the body, to kill us physically as well. So the first it said lahashmid, like we said, that was against the idea of ruchnius, pure ruchnius of mitzvahs, Laray is to destroy the sense of aliveness. La'abed means to destroy the physical body, to actually grind it down till it no longer exists. And the last aspect, we said, the last part of a person is that which belongs to him. It's not really part of him, but he has the chasm. A person owns things. He owns real estate. He owns goods. That Haman said, we're also going to take away. Ushlolam lavayz, we're going to take away their money. We're going to destroy every zecher of them. And in a way, this was certainly akin to the Nazis, but even worse, perhaps, the Nazis wanted to remain a zecher of the Jews. They were going to make museums, not obviously so that the Jews should be remembered in a favorable way, but sort of to show that we just succeeded in destroying this from the world. That was the same thing. Haman wanted to destroy it completely, to the point that even their belongings, even their nechasim, would be plundered. And that's the last thing, ushlolam lavayz. Says the Gaon, of course, we know that it was v'nahafachu. Purim was a turnaround, a complete about-face. The Rabbeinu Shlalom always works mida k'neged mida, and even more so on Purim. And therefore, he says, when we had the Nitzachon of Purim, so all four of these things flipped around. We were given four things. There are four things that happen on the day of Purim. First of all, we have more mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah to read the Megillah. We have a mitzvah of Mishlayach Manas. We have a mitzvah of Matanas Lavyayinim. So that there's more mitzvahs that day. You wanted to destroy us, so we should have less mitzvahs and do less things that bring us close to Hashem. Now we're going to have more things that keep us close to Hashem. More mitzvahs. You wanted to destroy our spirit and our happiness. That was the second aspect. Laharoig, you wanted to destroy our ruach. This is the day of Simcha. The day is the happiest day of the year is Purim. That we're bedafka sameach. We do everything we can to be sameach. Chayiv inish lebasum. We have to drink. If you can't figure out how to be happy without it, it's a drink to get happy. The third level was to actually physically destroy our bodies, la'abed. So therefore, we eat and we drink. We increase our bodies. Right, there's actual increase. It's a day of kuloi lachem, where it's a day of just enjoyment and physicality and guf. In many ways, it's the flip side of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day all of spirituality, all of ruchnias, where we negate and push away anything physical. On Purim, we say, no, everything physical, that's what goes. That's what the Simcha Sayyim is, the Simcha of physicality, which of course leads to spirituality. But there's a physical Simcha, mitzvah, physical Simcha on that day. And the last part was that Haman said that we're going to take their money of the Jews and we're going to plunder it and it's going to belong to us. So that's the one day a year where there's a particular mitzvah that every single Jew should have money. The mitzvah matanis l'avyayinim, no matter what, he needs, he doesn't need, does he have already what he needs for the day? Lo mashaneh. Every Jew has to have money on this day. We have to have all four aspects of whatever it was that Haman wanted to destroy. That's what we have on Purim. So those are the four inyanim of Haman's gzeirah that were turned around for us on Purim. Now, just be mamshach another couple of psukim. Pasuk Yud Dalet says, Pas shegen haksov, lehinosein dos, v'chol medino u'medino golui l'chol ha'amim. There was a letter put up, sort of displayed. This was an open letter. Pashegen Haksov means that it was open. Liyas Goloi to be revealed. L'chol ha'amim. Right? It was a revealed letter. It was sent out. Usually, when letters are sent out, they're revealed. Pashegen means the copies of this, but it says to be revealed. Liyas Goloi. L'chol ha'amim liyos asidim la'yom hazeh. That they should be ready for that day. This is a very strange thing. What do you mean they should be ready for that day? That was the gzeirah. It says in the gzeirah that it was much more than being ready. It said that la'ashmi la'arig la'abed. What's this pashegen haksav after that? It says v'in the shlayach svarim, pasukud gimel, it says v'in the shlayach svarim b'yad ha'ratzim, and in the svarim it says la'ashmi la'arig la'abed. Then it says pashegen haksav, that there was a ksav that was sent out to make a dat, like a law, b'chol medina medina, and all of the medinas, goli l'chol ha'amim, revealed and open to all of the nations. Says the Gaon, and the Malbim concurs, have a slight difference in interpretation here, but basically they say the same thing, that there were two letters that were sent out. Now we'll explain in a minute what were the two letters and what was the need for the two letters. I just want to read the next pasuk. Says Haratzim Yatsu Dechufim, the riders or the runners left with urgency and great haste. Bedvar Hamelach VaHadas Nitna BeShushan Abir. The riders left. In the meantime, in Shushan Abir itself, where they didn't have to get anywhere, they were in Shushan. That's where the letters were written out. It was immediately published and given out in Shushan Abira. Ha-melech v'Haman yashu lishtais, the king and Haman sat down to drink. Haman wanted to make sure the king was good and drunk and couldn't change his mind. V'ayir Shushan, and the city of Shushan, Navoicha, was, Navoicha does not mean saddened as sometimes it's translated, it means it was confused, Meloshen Mivucha. The city of Shushan was confused. What was it confused about? So the explanation is as follows. Like I said, the Goyin and the Malbim both say very similar pshatim. They say like this. There were two letters. The first letter was the one that contained the gzeira against the Jews. Lahashmid, laharig, la'abid, it's called Yehudim. Why? Now, that letter, Haman was afraid of publishing and putting out there in a public way, because he knew that Jews have connections and they're smart and they have politicians in their pocket, and if not, they're going to bribe someone and they're going to figure it out and find out what's supposed to happen. They're going to find a way to either be mevatalit or to lessen the gzera, and he was afraid that the Jews would use their influence to stop what he was planning. Therefore, these letters were sent sealed, and according to the Malbim, nobody had the right to open it, not even the governors, not even the officers of the various countries. It was sent sealed upon pain of death. Anybody opens this, chayav misa. Problem is, if you send out such letters, first of all, what's the urgency to send them out if you can't open them anyways? Secondly, this is a big mission, this destruction of the Jews. The people have to be ready. Certainly the army, the police force, the various powers that be need to be ready for that day, the 13th of Adar of the coming year, so that they can act on a moment's notice. If the letters are opened, let's say, the previous day or 2 days before, so the army has to be prepared with, you know, all soldiers in place, nobody on vacation, to get the job done. So that was the second thing. The second thing was not a letter. It wasn't closed. It wasn't sealed. It was an open letter. Pashegen haksav li'inosein dos v'chol medinu medina goli l'chol ha'amim. Open, like what they call in Israel today, pachkevilin, posters on the wall, notices up on the wall. But these notices didn't have details. They just said, li'es asidim l'yem azeh, everybody should be ready for that day. Take a day. Be ready. Ready for action. Army, soldiers, police, private citizens, be ready. There's going to be an announcement coming, and get ready to act. And this was the plan. And that's why the pasuk continued and said, "Va'ir Shushan Navoicha." What is Navoicha? It was confused. What was it confused about? Because it got this, suddenly these posters were put up that said, okay, in a year from now, about 11 months from now, be ready. People are reading these signs and strange signs. What do we should be ready? And they remember Achashverosh already had a reputation of being kind of a flake. He sent out letters that wives have to honor their husband, and he was a strange guy. So now another strange thing comes up. But there was one person that knew, and that's the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Mordechai yoda es kol asher nasa." Mordechai knew everything that had happened, everything that had been done. Like Rashi says, that he knew it, Peruach HaKadosh, or in a dream. What do you mean he knew it? Well, how come only Mordechai? If you don't say like the Gaon and the Malbim that the actual letters were hidden, so then everybody knew. The signs were put up, we're going to kill the Jews next year. So what was so special about Mordechai that the pasuk says, Mordechai Yada? The answer is no. Both the Malbim and the Gaon say that no, some people did not know. They had no idea what was going on. They just saw these letters. Be ready for next year. Mordechai, he knew more than that. He had Ruach HaKodesh. So he knew, Mordechai Yodes Kol HaShanasi, he knew what was behind these signs, he knew what was coming. And that's why, we'll see a little bit later in the parak, that Mordechai explained to Esther, and he told her about the Gzeira of Haman against the Jews. Why did he have to tell her? Why is Esther worse than anybody else? How come she doesn't know? The answer is, again, because nobody knew. Even Ahasuerus didn't know. It was hidden from everybody. There were two people who knew. Again, there are two primary protagonists in the story here, Mordechai and Haman. Okay, we'll continue next time. Rishon.